Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show to talk about health and the healing process. And I know, because I hear from you, that this is one of your favorites. He's one of your favorites. So our text line is open. You can get the questions coming in right now. We have a few topics we're going to address at the top of the show, but don't wait, because so often what happens is friends wait till the bottom of the hour and then they flood in and we can only tackle a few of them. So text 877-933-2484 with your questions. No question is ridiculous. We're going to open the show, though, with a few talking points. The first one we're going to talk about is EMF, how technology is affecting our health and our nervous system. Is technology causing inflammation in our bodies? What are we to do about it? Second, we're going to talk about something that I find so interesting, is the importance of consistency and the importance of changing things up. So sometimes they seem like they're at odds, but your body's so adaptable, you need consistency in certain practices in your diet and exercise, your sleep habits. But there are times you need to change certain parts of your disciplines up. Why and how do you know? We'll address that. And if we have time, I want to talk a bit about coffee, just because we get a lot of questions about that. Maybe you don't know, but there are a lot of toxins in coffee, but also coffee can be really good for you. So what are we to do and how are we to discern what's best? Quick reminder that today's program will deal with general health questions. And for specific medical advice, just a disclaimer, always seek out your physician and your professional personal health practitioners, right? He's not here to diagnose over the phone, over the airwaves, but we just really want so much to create a new paradigm shift, a new perspective on how to walk out health and healing. God has designed your body to heal. Real quick here, let me tell you about Dr. Troy. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy is the founder of and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago, probably 27 now, 28. Is it, or it's still...
Yeah,
that's updated.
It was a long time ago.
Eons ago.
Eons.
Yeah. Back in the cave days?
Yes.
I'm just kidding. With a vision to bring integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to this conversation. So what's God been talking about these days?
Well, it's very interesting. I was just saying before the show how I've had a lot of time traveling on the road and stuff, so I was able to listen to a lot of things and just have time to talk with God and at the same time listen to podcasts and some audiobooks, which those that's my world, God and science, and being able to listen to them both. And it's been very, very interesting just having that time alone. So as far as my verse today, I went with Genesis just right out of the gates, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hmm. And when I was listening to these podcasts in this particular book, it was about what we're going to be talking about today, EMFs. And it just made me realize how we're formed and how God made us. He made the earth and he made us, and he formed us from the soil. And then I started looking at the research and realized how disconnected we are from where we came.
Wow.
And we came from the soil, we came from the dust. And as it turns out, the more we're learning about our health and our body, it has a lot to do with how we were initially formed and how much, again, like I said, we're removed from that. And so just reconnecting to what that actually looks like is very, very fundamental to healing. And also there's a lot of people that are just suffering. And we've said in the past with many different things, if God made it, it's good. And if man changed it, beware. And the majority of technology is all man-made. And so there's a component where it actually can distract from us and take us away from God, but even God's healing that he has for us and different things like that. So it took me down a path where I got to actually think about it and even, you know, dream about it and pray about it. And it was a fascinating bit of travel that I was doing there.
Very, very cool. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to talk about EMF as far as why are some sensitive, why are not others, but also some of the remedies go towards and bend towards New Age practices. So we want to make a clear distinction, because just because the New Agers are finding ways to handle this doesn't mean that they've hijacked the conversation, because this is a real thing. I mean, technology has a real impact on our health. So, Angie wants me to start out by asking, what is EMF? Let's start there.
EMF is electromagnetic frequencies. So basically what that means, and many people have heard that if you live by a power line, so if a power line has the electric current going through it, you can kind of picture a light going through the electric wire. Well, around that electric wire is this frequency. It can go out 10 feet or 12 feet, and it basically is an energy field. So electromagnetic frequency is basically energy field created by electricity and all these different waves. And so there's different forms of energy, and things like cell phone towers or TV towers, radio towers even, they're all different as far as their wavelengths of light and on that spectrum, but they will create an electromagnetic frequency, especially power lines, things like that. So the EMFs, or the electromagnetic frequencies, will displace electrons. And we'll get into what that means a little bit later, but that is one of the keys. So remember that, electrons. I know everyone's going back to their science days, but electrons, as it turns out, are very, very important for us to create energy. And so I'll kind of walk through some of that process down the road here as we dive into it. But yeah, EMFs, electromagnetic frequency, and a lot of electric grids and different wavelengths will produce an EMF signal.
And here's what's important to know. Like we just because I have proven to be EMF sensitive, and a lot of people have, and they may wonder, why do my ears ring? Why don't I sleep? Why do I have inflammation? Why does my body buzz? Things like that. And you may not get an answer in traditional medicine. You just might not. But we tested our microwave, which is 20 years old, and the EMF goes all the way to the other side of the room. It's just old, and it just gives off all this, you know, EMF signal. So it's just important. And this is like a big conversation, and we're just going to dig in as best we can. So what are some of the symptoms? First of all, let me ask this. Why do some react and some not?
Well, that's a great question. So there, number one, if you are a little more compromised, you're going to be more reactive to it. So it's basically another form of pollution. So if you are already challenged at getting rid of pollutants in your body or the ability to detoxify, one more stressor is going to just kind of add to the pile. So some people are already compromised. Some people actually have genetic SNPs. So we've talked about people are predisposed to rheumatoid arthritis or to gluten sensitivity, things like that. Well, some people are predisposed to the actual electricity of the environment around them. Interestingly enough, a lot of these people have a gift of intuition, or they're basically almost they can see and sense things just ahead of other people. So they're not necessarily a gift of prophecy or anything like that, but something along the lines of. They just trust their gut, and they're very, very accurate a lot of times. So there's an energy component to certain people, but they actually have DNA. There's about 8% of the population that are sensitive, uber sensitive to electrical currents.
So for me, because I had some metal in my mouth, I had fillings, crowns with some metal underneath, and a lot of the neurological stuff with Lyme, I will say, there have been times when there's a thunderstorm outside, when the lightning goes across the sky, I feel a buzz go right through my head. So that's what's so wild. But it's super important to understand, too, that there's a New Age component to this. We want to make sure we make a really clear distinction, because what people are saying, scientists are saying, one of the things we need to do to ground ourselves is go outside and walk barefoot in the grass, to go camping, go put your feet in the sand and go fishing barefoot, you know. And now there is something to that. And yet others, if you get into the New Age kind of realm, they'll say, you know, use these crystals and do these things that are not biblical. So maybe start on that, and we're going to take a break, and I want you to pick that up, because this feels really important to talk about, and I feel like it's so big, I'm not boiling it down real well here. But
yeah, so basically how God made the earth is when we step on the ground, really what we're looking for is a transfer of electrons. So not to get too sciencey here, but when the sun shines, then the sun will actually cause a breaking up of molecules in our atmosphere. So you get these positive molecules and you get these negative ones. And negative ones are called electrons. And for us to make energy, all of our cells, and we've talked about this on the show, but we need our mitochondria, which is the energy or the powerhouse of all of our cells, to create energy. The way it does that is it supplies it with sugar, glucose, oxygen, through what's called the electron transport chain. So what that is electrons just kind of hop from one part of the chain to the next. And so you have to have electron donors. We get that from the earth, from the world, from the atmosphere and from the soil that God made. And so we need those electrons to be able to create energy. So if you don't have energy within the mitochondria of the liver, then you can't detoxify very well. If it's in the brain, you can't process information very well. So we'll see things like multiple chemical sensitivity because you can't detoxify because of an electron challenge. It's really coming from electrical processes like EMFs that are blocking the ability for the electrons to get to you. So we know statistically that people who lived under power lines or by cell towers early on when they're first invented, they tended to get cancer, specifically leukemia, or they ended up with like ear ringing, tinnitus, different buzzing in their heads. There is thousands of case studies and reviews of people hearing electricity and documenting it when the television first came about. And we're in such a busy technology world right now that we don't have as much of that, because the other interesting thing is we kind of adapt to it a little bit. And like when Marconi first started with the radio waves, he put a tower in his where he lived, and all the bees died. And so they thought it was just a sickness from the bees. They brought healthy bees in from off country, and they died as well. Eventually, though, over a couple years, bees started to be able to survive in that area. But the smaller animals and mammals give us a good clue as to some of the things that can be tolerated or not tolerated. So it really is about the transfer of electrons from the atmosphere and the soil. And so there's so much more that we can even get into with that. But as we block sun and sunlight, and as we block even the soil of the earth, like shoes, the rubber soles of shoes that all of a sudden become very, very detrimental. Walking around playing in the dirt becomes much, much more therapeutic. And so a lot of people will actually feel better. If you just walk outside barefooted on the lawn or on the beach or somewhere, just barefooted in the dirt, and you feel better, then that's a sign that you've got some level of electric imbalance and you need electrons.
So on the other side of the break, I want you to talk about, you finish the sentence, you might be EMF sensitive if, and maybe give us a list. But going to break, I'll say I was listening to a podcast on the EMF sensitivity, and the sports doc said that he had some key athletes, young athletes, who were suddenly declining in their performance. So he took a deep look at what they were doing, and he just started to think EMF, because he thought they're just on their faces or on their phones. They all got the smartwatches. They're constantly got the phone in their ear. They're surrounded by computer monitors. So he said, let's just limit your EMF input. Let's just, you know, take off the smartwatch, limit your time on the phone, take a break when you're in front of your computer. And he literally saw their performance go back up again. So there is something to this. So on the other side, you might be EMF sensitive if, and then we'll try to do our best to make a distinction between, you know, a biblical approach to this. Like, what are some just wholesome, godly ways that we can protect ourselves? And when you know you're crossing over into something that's not biblical, because again, that this space is very occupied by, you know, a new age mentality. So I just want to walk that line carefully. And I see some questions coming in, even about coffee. Yay. All right. I had to give up coffee, so I have coffee envy, but I want to answer your question about coffee because it's not all about me. All right. More with Dr. Troy when we return. Listen to Faith Radio live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl, is on the show once a month to talk about health and the healing process. He, as I said, joins us once a month. He's the CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. We're tackling kind of a tricky topic, and it's kind of too big to cram into one segment of radio, but we have so many questions already coming in, so I want to move on as soon as we can. But EMF, that electromagnetic field, right? Is that it, right? And we get these EMF impacts, microwaves, cell phones, too much electrical equipment. Like, you know, we have a TV in our room. Never watch it, but we're looking at everything that's affecting my sleep. And you've said, and other doctors have said, get that thing out of there. Because you think of all the buzzing in the electricity, and if you're sensitive, it's no wonder your body can never rest. So I asked you before the break to finish the sentence as many times as you can think. You might be EMF sensitive if...
if you have inflammation. We know it can cause inflammation, and it's a slow and steady process. So if you have inflammation that's not food-related or you don't really have a solution for it, it could be EMFs. Insomnia or sleep disorders, pain and muscle stiffness. One of the biggest ones is anxiety. Mm. So in the history of medicine, anxiety was never a diagnosis until the advent of electricity. So it was shortly after electricity was introduced that the first case of anxiety was ever reported. Now, it wasn't called anxiety at that time, but it was, I can't remember the name. It was like a nerve-induced name that they had for it, but it was an anxiousness. And the funny thing is they used electric current to try and treat it, and so which was the exact opposite because it was what was inducing it. And so with the advent of the telegram and telegraph, the wires that were used created an EMF that they didn't know about because they couldn't see it at the time. And the people, the telegraph operators, got very sick, but many of them complained of fatigue and anxiety, anxiousness. And so when you look through the medical literature, there is nothing in history that talks about to the level or degree that that happened afterwards. So So that's a big one. We also see it with people, like just athletic performance or the inability to recover. So there might be an issue with that. Headaches, for sure. And we see a lot of memory, even memory issues can start to become problematic. Also, if you are just surrounded by electromagnetic wires or anything, I'll give you a couple examples. If you live by cell towers, within a couple miles of a cell tower, now a lot of the studies and research I've done on the safety and efficacy, and I'm not trashing the companies, but they all come from the cell tower companies. So there isn't really good oversight in this area. So it's something that needs to be investigated. But when Northwest Airlines was operating out of the Twin Cities, I saw a lot of people from the airlines in the industry, and we would find, this was maybe 20 years ago, find a lot of EMF problems. And it was the pilots and the flight attendants, and the pilots, they were prematurely graying and things of that nature, but I started thinking about it. The airplane was just a big tube with electric currents all through it. And so sure enough, when we started testing them, we found a good 50-60% of them tested positive. And we did find that when we got their health better by working on other things, they became less sensitive to it. Mm.
So that's a really important point. Wouldn't that be the case with almost anything, mold, Lyme, almost anything, that if you can support your system in all these other ways, you will become more resilient, right?
Yes, but that's exactly right. And it could be a two-way street. And that's the big debate that's kind of going on right now is people that are kind of the pioneers and saying, or they're shouting the alarm of, you know, there's EMFs are bigger, they're bigger than you think. There is a lot of information out there that allows us to speculate that EMF is like, or electricity and things of that nature, it's a stressor to the system, an electrical stressor to our system. So just like mental, chemical, and physical stressors, that's when things like viruses and these other infections like Lyme and mold rear their ugly head.
So, because you're in a weakened state.
You're in a weakened state. Yeah. So that's why when people have cold sores, that's a virus, it comes out when you're stressed. Same with shingles. Shingles occurs after a mental, physical, or chemical stressor or trauma. Well, same thing with all viruses. And so they do a good job of even linking flu viruses to things like this. Because it is a little strange. I mean, I've been now practicing healthcare, treated COVID all through COVID, all flu season. My general stance is always, if you have the flu, come in. I want to treat you while you're actively have the flu. I've never gotten sick. I've never missed a day of work in 30 years. And so it was just a... a mindset, but I also am sensitive to EMFs, meaning like don't overdo it and things like that. And so there's something to that where by reducing your EMF stress and your electrical stressors, that you won't get the viral and infectious stuff pop up as much. And so certain things like amalgams and other things can weaken the system. Fillings and things like that. Mm. Exposures to other things that can disrupt our electrical system, if you will.
So maybe just some practical things that you can do so that you're not getting into something that feels compromising to your faith is go out and walk at night barefoot in your yard and deep breathe, as you said, as you just get ready.
Yep.
You know, take your phones out of your bedroom, plug them in somewhere else. If you have a TV, get rid of that out of your room. Just try to minimize, give your body a break from all the electrical buzzing, right? And even if you're able, if you work remotely or whatever, if you're able to step away from your computer on the hour, go step outside for a bit. But those things just make sense, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Your neighbors won't think it weird if you go out there and just start rubbing the grass and stuff. It's a thing. Just go walk around barefoot in your yard and or have a picnic. Like mm-hmm. We used to
sit on the ground.
Sit on the grass, yeah. And so there's actually a lot of good things that can happen just from the clean air and then just touching the ground. And so there's a lot to it. And I have when you kind of put this filter in place and then you go back and read all through scripture and you look at like people like Moses who walked around with these staffs that were connected to the earth during the whole process. There's something to that helps you with the vitality and that God put in there. So there's definitely something to the whole process of getting those electrons, because now that we know, like even with a house, you cannot build a house without putting a stick into the ground and then attaching the entire electrical system. Otherwise, your house would explode with lightning in the air nearby or the power lines. They have to put a ground wire into it. So they have to tap into the ground to even allow you to have electricity in your house. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So we're not grounded. When we have rubber soles on our shoes and we're not touching the ground, then all of a sudden we lose the same ability to conduct those electrons out of the atmosphere. So very, very important for us to be grounded, literally.
So,
grounded in our faith and grounded in the ground.
Amen. There you go. And, you know, that's why people love camping. That's why some will say, I just feel better when I'm out gardening, you know, stuff like that, because their hands are in the soil and they may not even know that could possibly reduce inflammation in their bodies. And you do your own research, but there are people that are buying grounding mats to put on their bed or to stand on and are testifying that a lot of their inflammation and pain have gone away, have slept better. You do some homework on it, but it's an interesting topic and it's worth talking about. Now, we've had a number of texts come in. So on the other side of the break, I think we'll start tackling questions, but we'll start with the coffee one because I saw a question come in about coffee. And if there's time, we'll get into the consistency versus changing it up. I'll try to make time for that because I think it's so interesting. But I'm talking to Dr. Troy. We welcome your questions. You can text them in 877-933-2484. Friends, I see these questions. We're going to tackle them as best we can. More with Dr. Troy in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a great conversation with our very wonderful friend, Dr. Troy Spurl. He is CEO and founder of his clinic, Synapse Center for Health and Healing. And the reason we have him on the show is because he and I share the passion that every step towards healing matters. Every step matters. And you'll be amazed at the tweaks you can make in your everyday practices that can propel you towards a healthier life. We're in a day where we're so addicted to quick fixes and just give me a pill. I don't want to have to look at my behavior, my disciplines. And that's unfortunate because when you take pills, chemicals, it changes your body's physiology, it changes your whole makeup, and you never fully address maybe things you want to look at. But if you're willing to take a deep dive and look at how you process information, the story you tell yourself about your story, what you eat, when you go to bed, if you go to bed on time, you know, all those things can make a massive difference in how you show up in life. So we love Dr. Troy. We started out the show, I didn't expect to take a full half hour on EMF, but we could probably spend multiple shows on it, right? And I said we're going to talk about coffee and that other topic, consistency, but there's so many questions. I want to just, let's rapid fire through them as best we can.
Got
you ready?
It. Yes.
Okay, this
I'm
one.
Ready.
Started drinking clean coffee. Let me just pause with that. We were going to talk coffee, and coffee, they say, can prevent or at least minimize impact of Alzheimer's. It's a vasodilator, so it opens up the vessel. Yep. So that can have positive effects. But most coffee in general is pretty toxic, isn't that right? Unless you get a clean coffee?
Yeah, because of the processing of it. So it can come with a lot of chemicals. So we see a lot of mold, fungal, because the coffee bean itself can have the fungal source, a lot like corn. So it can be very, very triggering for a lot of people. But at the same time, the pure, clean coffee with mild amounts of the caffeine can actually help prevent or improve aspects like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's just because of the antioxidant properties along with the vasodilation, delivery of oxygen, things like that.
And there's been questions about the mushroom coffee because they say that can actually help prevent cognitive decline and different things. And I'll just tell you, my brother, who's had headaches for years and has done so much to get rid of them, he switched to mushroom coffee 2 weeks ago. Headaches went away.
Yeah. Yep.
Kind of amazing.
Yeah. So sometimes it's the caffeine too, because a lot of other coffee, if it's pollutants or caffeine, both of those have to be broken down by the liver. And so the liver is the number one cause of headaches. And so when you're overloading your liver system, that can just manifest as headaches, but it can be multiple different things within one or a couple sources. So coffee's unfortunately one of the ones that can trigger pretty significant headaches.
Okay. So back to your question, because you caught me with clean coffee. So already I can tell she knows what she's talking about. Okay. Started drinking clean coffee with Moringa in it to help my cells. What are your thoughts on Moringa? And I was saying during the break, I take Moringa capsules in the morning. It's a superfood, antioxidant. What are your thoughts, Doc?
Yeah, I don't take it personally. I have patients that do. I think it's good. Yeah, I have no problems with it. And a lot of the superfoods are great, just adjuncts. We need antioxidants. And mm-hmm. That is a big part of the healing process, and antioxidants pull out free radicals. So very, very good to actually get as much antioxidants as possible and in healthy form. So I think it's a good adjunct. I like it.
Okay. I lost the second question. So sorry about that. All right. Thank you for addressing this EMF topic. Perhaps Dr. Troy could address dirty electricity as well. I pray for you every day. Hugs from your fellow Lyme fan. Well, God bless you. Thank you for that.
Well, dirty electricity is the worst form of electricity. So it's almost like free radicals and it's off on its own. So dirty electricity is really rampant right now. And so you have to look at, it's kind of like not having the protective mechanisms in place for the power lines or the other electric currents. And so you can see when that starts to add up, it's pollution. But it's even the worst form of pollution. So you end up getting more complicated scenarios that come out of it, and it just disrupts your system a little bit more. But it is running rampant, and some of the doctors I've looked at that have written on the books, as mentioned earlier, they talk about how it's this dirty electricity and the things that are happening with the grid are contributing to almost making us slow, like putting us in a microwave, if you will, and we're slowly microwaving ourselves, kind of like the boiling frog scenario.
Wow.
We're getting used to it. And so that's where the inflammation is coming from.
Wow.
So if you look into dirty electricity, you'll be a little bit shocked how much it is all around us.
So you said you could have an EMF consultant come out to your house and test your EMF levels in your home.
Yep.
And you could be getting dirty electricity from your outlets. So you could clean those up, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do to clean them up. There's a new school of training with these EMFs right now. And so I have a patient out of California who's being trained right now to become an EMF specialist.
Hmm.
And so they're starting to
actually hear more about it.
Yeah, hear more about it.
And so, we're such a cutting edge show. We're talking about it now.
Yeah.
Okay,
hello.
Sorry. Hello. And humble too.
Yes.
Okay.
Very.
All right. Hello, Susie and Troy. EMF chat so helpful. Lately, unexplained headaches, neck aches, changed pillows. I have a phone on bed at night. I'm guessing that's a no-no. I just love you. That's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. A no-no. And I will say this too. So recently we did upgrade to 5G, and that's a potential contributor for a lot of people too. So yeah. A lot of like cell phones, the TV in the room, the electric currents going to the house, radio waves, these are all different forms. Or if you still use the telegram at home, all those are still different forms of potential EMFs and challenges.
Okay. I live right now about 25 feet above a cell tower in our apartment building. I have a lot of nerve pain and we're both tired. What can we do?
Well, the first thing that pops in my head is move.
Let's just pray right now, because I'm sure that feels daunting, but we really believe God can make a way and that your health is worth it. And for you to have energy, for you to not have headaches or nerve pain, right?
So, absolutely.
Father, we just pray for this friend right now. We ask you, God, to make a way where there is no way, that you'd miraculously open a door for them to live somewhere free from power lines. And I pray you'd redeem and restore their health miraculously, Lord, that you'd revive and restore their energy. And I even pray you use this move to give them new neighbors that are a part of the big story that you're writing with their life. But we're just praying for them, God, that you would, I know it's radical, but maybe they're hearing this show today for the purpose so that they can feel better and step into the best of what you have. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Dr. Troy, love the idea of walking in the evening grass. However, would you want to do it on grass that has been sprayed with various chemicals? Bam!
Love that
great
question.
Great question.
Yep.
Yes.
And the answer is no. So
yeah.
If in my yard, when I say I go out and walk in the yard, I walk on weeds and I love it. So you get tough feet, but do not go on freshly sprayed grass if you can help it, and if you have any place that's clean or organic, obviously that's the place to go. But we don't spray our lawn, and so I walk on that grass. But generally speaking, if something hasn't been sprayed for a while, you're okay with that. But it's such an important thing that if you go out, even like one of the best places to go is like in the desert or different areas where they just don't spray, so not even on grass, so on dirt roads and things like that.
My hubby found a homemade solution for weeds that it's like there's no chemicals in it. It's vinegar and dish soap and a few other things, and yep. He puts it in a sprayer and it works great. So do some research, you know. And back to Rob, where he said he's had unexplained headaches and has a phone on his bed. Rob, the fact that you have a phone by your bed, I'm just wondering if you made a few changes, if you wouldn't start to feel better. That if he did and noticed a difference, then it's worth creating some space for himself, right?
One of my very favorite stories is of a patient. She was a teenager and she had migraines, came in. This was back in 1997, and so this is a long time ago, but she had one of those old flip alarm clocks, and we looked at a whole bunch of things, and I know that the younger people listening won't even know what I'm talking about with the flip alarm clocks, but
I must be young because I have no idea what you're
really?
Talking about.
Yeah, okay, we got it.
Okay.
Angie knows.
And I'm older than her, so yes. Maybe I'm just uninformed. Okay, keep going.
So it was on her bedstand or behind her head there on her bed, and we had her move it across the room, and her headaches went away. And
that
was my very, very first actual experience with EMFs.
Wow.
And she was a young teenager whose headaches didn't come back after that.
And, you know, I'll give you another quick testimony with those crowns I had in my mouth. They were porcelain but had metals underneath them. And every time I'd fly, my head would buzz the whole time. Buzz, numbing buzz, like bzzz, like there was an electrical current attached to my head. When I got those removed on the flight home from Texas, no more buzzing in my head.
Yep.
So there's something to that. Okay, how long do we need to walk in the yard barefooted to reap the benefits?
That's also a great question. I actually don't know the specifics because as you're walking, it's all about just getting the electrons. Really, that's what you're looking to do up through the soil. So even like if you're a gardener, just getting your hands into the soil and the garden is even better. Mm-hmm. So I generally speaking, they say like 10 minutes is good and plenty. The grounding mats you're sleeping on all night. So it's basically all they do are deliver electrons throughout the night for 7 to 8 hours.
Yeah, I've been. I know we both watched the same video of a guy that he worked in a cable company, so he understood the grounding thing, and yeah. He was dealing with inflammation. So he was actually one that founded some of these grounding mats. But he put duct tape across his bed, attached a wire, put it out the window, put a grounding stake yeah. in the ground, and slept like a baby. And he said his back pain went away. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, so it's wild.
Funny thing is, we actually have technology like rings and stuff like that that can measure your sleep. So you have wearables that you can measure, which some come with EMFs, some of them have blockers. So if you have one that has a blocker, even like the Oura Ring and things like that, you can actually measure your sleep before and after grounding your mattress or using a grounding mat. So it can be very, very helpful.
All right. Judy says, I'd love to walk barefoot in our yard, but we have a lot of deer, so I avoid it because I'm concerned about ticks. Is that a legitimate concern?
Well, no, because the ticks themselves, my two cents with that is that's a tricky one because I'm very sensitive to Lyme and deer ticks. And I know we're not meant to fear anything or anyone but God himself. So I would say no, it's
and
not a fear.
And then power wash your feet when you're done.
It is a concern. Yeah, exactly. So I want you to do it. It's better to do it than not do it. But it's also important not to get the deer ticks. Mm-hmm. But we'll say this. And I'm not saying this is truth, but there's a scenario where it could be that when you get your electrons and your the grounding part of it actually addressed, that things like viruses and Lyme from deer ticks infections become less of an issue. Because we do see that where people get a deer tick and don't have any problems.
I've met people like that, and they had the bullseye and never had any, but they were so strong and healthy in every other way. So, wow.
I've had three ticks on me with one bullseye.
Of course you have. Never missed a day of work. All right.
Yes.
So glad. I just know. I'm really happy. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Okay. I've got another one. Hang with me, friends. We got a big old text line. When we remodeled our kitchen 4 years ago, we intentionally did not put in a microwave. I've not missed it at all. Wow. That's awesome. It's amazing how much better your food tastes reheated in the stove. And you've talked about this. Okay, yeah. Even your coffee can be reheated in a small saucepan, pour it back into your cup. I love this because you've talked about how when you're cooking on a stove, like the old-fashioned way, when you turn on the electric or gas stove, but there's actually things that are secreted in your brain and in your senses because you're smelling and it's preparing your body for better digestion versus microwave. Say a quick word about that before we go to break.
Well you kind of nailed it. That was
perfect. Oh, yay!
That was perfect. Yeah, I've not used a microwave in 20 years, so and we reheat everything, coffee and everything as well.
Wow.
So yeah, it preps the brain for the process. And if you get digestion starts with your eyes, that's when your digestion starts. To improve your digestion, it's when you're looking and preparing the food and then you're salivating. Those are your enzymes. If we get into this world of just the food's right in front of us and then we go and eat, sometimes we don't actually have the enzymes ready to actually break the food down. So it sits there like a brick on your gut, and then you start developing these digestive issues. And people eat so fast nowadays, and so it's one of those things where by preparing it, you're really preparing your entire the mental process of digestion, because digestion does start with your eyes and the brain before it even hits your stomach.
And that's why they're calling it the slow food movement these days, friends. It's a kind of in protest to the fast food movement to slow it down, take your time cooking. Okay, when we come back, we've got a handful more questions. We'll keep tackling them. I love that you didn't wait, that you're sending these in, and we're trying to get through as many as we can. Dr. Tori Sproul is my guest today. Every step towards health and healing matters. It matters. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, this is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember a time as a young mom walking through a difficult time when some friendships broke down and who I thought were my friends turned on me. I soon started to hear things they were saying, and I was devastated because their critique of me matched my inner critic as well. And I learned three things from that time as I drew closer to God. One was that God loves me no matter what. No one can gossip enough about me to God to make him change his mind about me. He loves me. Two, my identity is secure because I'm created by God. He's already decided about me. And three, I have no option but to forgive. I remember the Lord said, keep the light on in your heart. Keep your heart receptive in case they ever repent and come back. Those three things were really crucial in my maturing of the faith, and maybe you needed to hear them today as we're exploring the theme of forgiveness this month. God loves you. No one can gossip enough about you to make him change his mind about you, which means your identity is secure. And thirdly, if you take your faith walk seriously, then unforgiveness, is never an option. Forgiveness is always the call. You can do it with God's help, one step at a time. You can do it. Connecting faith to life and praying together at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul joins us today. And we started out the conversation talking EMF, and we were taking a lot of questions. What's so interesting is so many questions are about this EMF, the electromagnetic field. And all of the continued upgrades in technology are affecting our health. And you'd said when I asked you at the clinic the other day, you know, some of us are the canary in the coal mine. We feel it sooner, but it's really not good for anybody. Some may not be as affected, but to be surrounded by the buzzing electrical currents all the time does take a toll on the system, no matter who you are, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. There isn't anyone that isn't being affected by it right now. So we know that definitively.
Mike Mazza, one of my favorites, he's just hilariously funny, but he said the same EMF thing happens in his mouth during a thunderstorm. He says, however, I can only receive Suzy's podcast, so I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. He's my favorite. He's so funny. Okay, let's see here. I'm going to read this one from Sherry. Raising a four-year-old that has some allergies, in my opinion. His mom has a ton. I asked his primary doc if we could have him tested, and they said they do not do that in children, but gave me an EpiPen just in case. Is this common now, and how does one know what to stay away from? He's for sure allergic to shellfish, but has little bumps all over his skin at times and itchy, watery eyes. Just wondering if there's anything we should be doing.
That's interesting. No, that's not that common. So they absolutely do test for allergies. They'll do the pin prick test, and I know Wisconsin Allergy Associates will actually make natural remedies for whatever they find. But yeah, there are many allergists that will actually check for IgE reactions. So the EpiPen will help with anaphylactic. And so I think that practitioner is just making sure that you're covered as far as any anaphylaxis and saying, don't worry about the rest. So if you're worried about quality of life issues, which many parents are for their four-year-olds, there are many other tests that you can do to actually look for allergies. Now, the thing is, you can also do what's called a food elimination process, which is not necessarily easy, depends on your child, but pulling out all dairy for 2 weeks and then seeing how they do. Pulling out gluten for 2 weeks, seeing how they do are the top two, and then kind of go from there. But the actual allergy testing, you can do IgE, IgG testing to give you a sense of what type of reaction. It depends if they're getting hives and itchiness or things like that, histamine-related reactions, or if they're actually getting things like eczema, skin issues.
So if they're having histamine, it could be they're reacting to leftover food or red sauces, right? Things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. A lot of food dyes, things like that. Yep. So it doesn't, or high histamine foods. But if it's a skin reaction or a little bit of an inflammatory reaction or a mood disturbance, traditional allergists actually do not test for those. So they don't do the IgG testing for that.
Okay, here's one. A 53-year-old female completed menopause 2 years ago. 15 years ago, had her thyroid removed due to small cancerous nodules. Praise God, didn't require chemo or radiation in her treatment, and her margins and parathyroids were cancer-free. In the past 3 years, she's experienced some large fluctuations of thyroid levels, moving from hypothyroid to hyperthyroid. Most recently, TSH is 0.14. Her metabolic panel, your analysis, CBC look, blood work, has returned normal except for two things. Her alkaline phosphatase number was 136 a year ago. A year ago, it was 100. It was 136. A year ago, it was 100. And her glucose, 106 at fasting. Doctor ordered an abdominal ultrasound, and the findings were normal with exception of diffuse increased liver echogenicity. Is that fatty liver? Indicative of, I'm sorry, friends, parenchymal hepatic disease.
Parenchymal hepatitis disease,
okay. Yeah. Clear your throat. Okay. Normal echo texture, no focal solid mass. The main portal vein is patent with antegrade flow, measuring right lobe of liver. Inferiorly, there's a cyst within the thin separations. Anyway, could hypothyroidism be impacting my liver results? And if so, what is the best course of action in addition to adjusting my thyroid medication? So would you synopsize this for the layperson so we understand what she's asking, and then whatever you thought.
Yes, let's break that down quite a bit. When I hear something like that, I'm like, okay, first thing that comes to mind is what caused the cancer. So that's the real first problem, because whatever caused the cancer may or may not have been addressed to the point where, because it could be affecting the liver as well. The most common cause of cancer for the thyroid are pesticides that mimic estrogen. So estrogen, or so if there was some level of estrogen hormone replacement or put on an estrogen pill or exposed to a chemical from the environment that mimics estrogen like pesticides, that can be problematic. So that still might be in play. Also, glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, mimics estrogen, damages the thyroid, and also can damage the liver. So that's one potential issue as well. To answer her question, 100% hypothyroids can cause liver issues. And so a lot of times we'll see other liver enzymes and things like that go up. But if she has a low TSH with some thyroid issues, the low TSH tells us that it's hyperthyroid. But if it kind of goes up and down, we see that with autoimmune. So there's either antibodies to the thyroid hormone that she's being given because her current thyroid won't be making it. So she has to check for those antibodies. If they're there, that this is an immune system problem, not a thyroid problem. Because that's your immune system attacking the thyroid for whatever reason. So again, whatever caused the cancer, your immune system is what helps prevent cancer. And so if there are antibodies, it means whatever set up the problem in the first place has not yet been addressed.
Interesting. Okay.
That makes sense?
Yep. Thank you for that. Okay. This dear listener says she struggles so much with her moods. How can she best deal with this? She fasts, she prays, she has some heavy burdens she's dealing with. As a result, gets super discouraged, regularly spends time with God, but struggles to see his goodness in her circumstances.
So yeah, that's sounds awful, like depression, depressed function. And so there's a lot that, that can go with that. So the first thing I'm going to, and this is very, very general statements, but first of all, I know 100% healing does not begin without forgiveness. So from a life perspective, it's look at who do I need to forgive, including yourself.
Very good.
Number two, inflammation causes depression. So look at if there's any inflammation. And
let me just interject. If your moods are a little bit south, and we're always just minutes away from the emotional ditch, we look at what we go to for comfort, and some of the comfort foods increase inflammation, which then exacerbate
absolutely
the mood issue.
Yep. So it could be food. It could be environmental chemicals. We just talked about EMFs today causing inflammation. And so there are a lot of factors that can cause inflammation. Lack of sleep. One of the ones I've talked about a lot are sleep disorders with people who don't even know they have a sleep disorder. And so they wake up inflamed versus waking up feeling refreshed. We're supposed to wake up every morning and our aches and pains from the previous day are gone. That's normal. Even at any age, even at in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, I have people in their 80s and 90s who still sleep through the night pain-free.
Wow. That's our goal, what we're praying for. Okay, listen to this, because I'm thinking of the other listener who talked about the four-year-old with potential, you know, allergies and the histamine potential issue. This one says, Dr. Troy, thank you for the advice for my son, who was having itchiness when he ate spicy food and also would get hives when he would run or bike. You suggested quercetin. Today, he told me he biked 47 miles on a single-speed bike with no hives. He also had spicy foods with no discomfort at all. So,
love it.
Yay. Okay. All right. Here's one. Do you know anything about hair follicle sensitivity testing?
Hair follicle sensitivity testing. I do not.
Okay. Me neither. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
If it describes it, hair follicle sensitivity testing. No, I don't.
All right. We're going to move
that down.
Yes. Yeah. He'll have an answer for you when we come, not when we come back next month. So we just got a couple minutes left. So let's just tackle then the, oops, I got another text in here. I'll take this one and then we'll tackle our consistency topic, maybe Lord willing, next time. Recently lost significant other to liver cancer. They were treating her with immunotherapy. The specific thing they were using is called Valumab. I asked the doctor about giving her vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, the sort of things to help boost your immune system because she does not eat a good diet. The doctor said no, it would not be a good idea because those vitamins would fight against the door value mad, whenever that is. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so this has been very consistent over the last...
Sorry, has he spelled it again? Durval, doesn't even matter because I can't say it. Keep going.
Well, I'm not familiar with the... the cancer drug there anyway. But the main, what I can tell or talk to you to about with this is that a lot of times doctors will say that that the antioxidants interfere with the cancer medication. And that's true for a couple of them, but not all of them. I'm also going to say this. There's two different paths, really, when it comes to treating cancer. And the traditional medical path uses a different approach, radiation and chemo, and that's their approach. So what I'm talking about in functional medicine is to boost your immune system to take care of the cancer before it ever becomes cancer. And it's a lot easier to prevent cancer than it is to treat cancer that way. I will say this, there are other ways, like we're talking about with the electrons. If you can get your antioxidants through the electrons and treat it that way, then there's a potential that you can have more effective treatments than even chemo and radiation. We don't have anything that exists like that right now that's being used. So the doctor is following their protocols. I myself work with cancer patients and have in the past family members who have been diagnosed with breast cancer, and we have used antioxidants in conjunction. We have to look at the research to make sure it's not going to interfere with the chemo agent if they're doing that. But there are ways to actually help that, but it's not clear cut on either way. So the thing is, I can't do what I don't know. And same thing with that, the doctor there.
Right.
They know
Good
their
point.
Chemo.
Yeah. So, and you know, again, preventative care is the best care. So let's all do our best. Drink lots of water, get to bed on time, take a look at your diet, try to cut out the junk as much as you can, and enjoy life. Walk barefoot out in the grass, go along for a walk on the beach, go sit down and have a picnic out in your backyard, take some deep breaths, enjoy nature, thank God for every good thing in your life. Those are amazingly health-giving, life-giving things. I pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.